what one of the greatest fucking scripts ever written in the history of Hollywood is?
What?
Top Gun.
Come on.
Top Gun is fucking great. What is Top Gun? You think it's a story about a bunch of fighter pilots?
Yeah, it's about a bunch of guys waving their dicks around.
It is a story about a man's struggle with his own homosexuality.
It's Mixed on the Beat.
See what you can do.
Hello. What's up? It's the Z-Stew, back again. E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 47. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Bloodline, The Leftovers, Twin Peaks, The Return, and American Gods. Movies including Pirates of the Caribbean, Wiz of Lies, and Baywatch. And as always, quick hit entertainment news, the week in sports, the week in Funko, weekly Star Wars year-by-year moment, and weekly random song and movie recommendations. This week, we're debuting a new segment, San Diego Comic-Con Look Back Moment of the Week. Before I go any further, do chocolate bunnies have anything to do with his heritage? It's the Nez!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, sorry it sounds so crappy, man. Just, you know, my internet connector sucked balls, so just bear with us. It's just the place I live, man. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. So sorry about all that before you guys start complaining and yelling at us. But other than that, welcome to the show, everybody. We got, not too much on my half, but it's been a slow week for stuff. But I did make it out to some movies, so let's get through this.
Yeah, sounds good. Before we start, I just wanted to run by you. You know those like Warren Miller like ski and snowboard movies?
Which ones?
They've been around forever. They just show, you know, random skiing and snowboarding. They still do them today, but I guess they've been doing them for like 30 years. But, they're just basically like highlight films, basically, of skiing. They're all the same, but they seem to do one every year or two. Anyways.
I'm sure I've seen them.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. If anything, you've seen them. They've been on in, like, you know, skate shops and whatnot.
It's just action stuff, yeah. and some groovy music in the background.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, I've seen those. They've done a lot of those. I've seen a lot from the 70s and 80s. So, yeah, right. I'm pretty sure I've seen those.
Yeah. I had one of those on last night, right, as I was like, actually trying to wind down. It was like the wrong thing to put on because I got all excited about snowboarding, and I was just thinking, you know, I know you board all the time. We got to go snowboarding sometime. You've never gone, right?
I haven't gone in a while, but I can do it. I know I need a new board. The board I bought was back in the 90s, and I'm sure there's cooler ones out there right now. So I just need some new boards, and I just need a whole new setup. I think I can get away with my bindings, but my board and definitely boots, I can use some new stuff. But who knows? Yeah, next year, man. This should have been the year we went up, man. There was so much snow in my area, man. Fuck, man, we fucked up. But who knows? Next year we'll go and we'll give you a show from the top of the mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. And they actually do rentals, so we could do it that way too. Snowboard. Boots.
Cool. Yeah.
Just come with your protective gear.
Yeah, I think I need to get a helmet. Been wearing my helmet when I hit the skate park, so I think I never ride a helmet when I'm out snowboarding, but I don't get extreme. I just like to go down the hill and have a good time.
But
I do go fast sometimes, and I just, I know it's stupid. I should wear a helmet, but I got a big, huge head, man. I got a lot of knowledge. So I have to search for big helmets. I don't like ordering them online because I need to try them on first. I kind of like just chanced it when I bought my skateboard helmet. Luckily, it fits good. So,
right.
Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, on the slopes, they've got even the smaller hills like Boreal. They've got like boxes. I'm sure you could hit the grind on that a little and do a little half jump.
I did small jumps, but nothing huge. I've done one little box once, but it scared the hell out of me. But I don't know. I mean, I would give it a shot. It depends if it's the low boxes. Those big high ones, no thank you.
Yeah, no. And you see some of the people out there, obviously, like, it's unbelievable. They're, like, back flipping off these jumps and stuff. It's, like, incredible.
I couldn't do it.
No. Anyways, just throwing that out there real quick before we get into the meat of the show. My intro, the two-parter, my hello, that's referencing Twin Peaks and also your intro of do chocolate bunnies have anything to do with your heritage? That's referencing the Michael Horse scene, which was awesome, kind of hilarious in a way. They're kind of just sitting at a table trying to figure something out, and you know, I won't get too far into it because I'm hoping you'll check it out, but it's pretty funny because that just whole idea of they're trying to solve a mystery and he's heard it has to do something with his heritage, and they're like, oh my god, it's the chocolate bunnies, and he's like, it's not the chocolate bunnies, and then he starts to question, he's like, is it the chocolate bunnies? And they just sit there. So, anyways.
I'll eventually check it out.
Yeah. I'm so impressed with what Twin Peaks is doing, because a couple of other shows I want to talk about in a minute, Leftovers, American Gods. All these shows, there's a lot of shows out there doing weird stuff right now, but man, nothing like what Twin Peaks is doing. It's so good. It's like, they were just re-airing episodes 3 and 4. They threw up 4 episodes the first week, so they just re-aired 3 and 4 because of the holiday this weekend. So just kind of flipping around, and that was on. Man, I just got hooked right back in, even though I'd already seen it. That actually doesn't happen too much, where I'm like, I've seen it, but I want to see it again. So, yeah, definitely check that out when you can. I highly recommend it. But just real quick on the Leftovers and American Gods tip. Leftovers is just about to end its run. Its series finale is next Sunday. So, like, the penultimate next to last episode just aired this past weekend, and it's one of the best they've ever done. It was one of their more themed episodes where they more lean into something special they do on the show. I don't want to say too much about it. I know you haven't watched it, and if everybody else hasn't watched it either, if you do watch it, but I've said it, I can't even remember how many times now, but just another friendly reminder, if you do ever watch Leftovers, go ahead and start with season 2. You really don't miss anything in season 1. Season is pretty tough to get through. And
but do they show? But do they show the beginning of? Do they show the beginning of it?
Of season 1, when you watch season 2, they do like previously on.
No, in season 1, do they show? Or do they just wake up one morning and everyone's gone?
Yeah, basically. And that's the premise of the show. Like, and I don't even know if most likely they're not even going to answer. It's not that kind of show next week. But yeah, all of a sudden, just a percentage of the population is gone. I think it's big, but it's also like relatively small. Like, I think 2% of the population just disappears from the planet. So the rest of the time is spent, you know, they come at it from all kinds of different aspects, religious and guilt. And it is a show about loss, so it is definitely tough that way. But they also do some really interesting things, like ideas and stuff like that. And I think that next week, the finale of finales, I'm set for it really not to answer anything. We're not going to even find out ever on the show what happened truly to the 2% of people that disappeared. But because in the end, that's like what the show is. It's like kind of a metaphor for loss. And that's why it's a little tough, too, to talk with you about the show. And, you know, I know you're going to have some feelings on it, too, if you do check it out, because, you know, of the personal loss, you know, we've had the family. So,
yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I'll still, it sounds interesting. I did some reading on it all, and I know you say skip to the second season, but I just kind of want to see where what happens before. I mean,
yeah.
How many episodes is in the first season?
I think it's 10 the first season, 10 the second season, and this third season I think was only 7 or 8. So yeah. The guy that is behind it, Damon Lindelof, he was behind Lost, and he's, you know, he helped with the writing of Prometheus and Tomorrowland, other stuff he's done. But he even, like, admitted that he brought too much grief to season one and a little too much depression. And even the author, Tom Peralta, it's based off of a novel, and he helped him do it, but it wasn't until after they put out the first season, he said that you know, he was able to understand there's so much more levels to grief and loss than just depression. And like I said, season one is just over the top with kind of depression, and there's not a lot more to it. And they were able to open up the story more in season 2 and 3 and kind of all aspects of it. They don't leave it behind. They still deal with that, but there's a lot more levels to it going forward. So that's why I would say I've never seen a show do that where it was almost unwatchable in season one, and then I heard so much good things about it season two, so I gave it a try, and they were right. I've never seen a show do that before, so it's really unique in that sense, because most shows would probably just end up canceled, but this one kind of got a second chance.
All right, man. I keep forgetting all these channels with all those shows. What channel is that one?
HBO, but the whole series is up on the HBO Go. HBO,
all right, Net. Cool. Speaking of HBO, I need to get back into Game of Thrones. I stopped again. So
definitely.
When is 7 starting?
Right before Comic-Con.
Okay.
So that's kind of like your indicator. But all, yeah, right. Hopefully we can knock out that episode before the con.
Yeah, I'm going to try to zip through what I have left and give you guys the next Nez on the Throne episode. So expect that within the next couple weeks.
Yes, definitely. I know you said you felt a little drop off after season 4 to season 5, and that's true, but season 6 definitely picks up again. It's the most cinematic of seasons. I don't want to spoil anything for you about it, but a couple of the episodes seriously could have been straight out movies. So, yeah.
Cool.
Lots of good stuff to look forward to. Good conversation there.
All right. As far as TV for me, I don't have anything. So just keep it going.
Okay, yeah, just two more quick ones for me. American Gods, that's continuing. I've liked it more as it's gone on, and I think I mentioned this last week that the weirdness of Twin Peaks made me appreciate American Gods a little more. And the last two episodes were pretty good. It's come together. I think we're five episodes in to the point where I get everything. Like, nothing's getting past me. And they're starting to kind of more get into this idea of new gods versus old gods, and adding players to each side of that battle. So don't want to get too much into it, but yeah, I mean, comparing it to Twin Peaks, though, man, I was so impressed with what Twin Peaks is doing right now. So the last TV show I have, I messaged you about this the other day, last night, I guess, Netflix's Bloodline. It's been around for 3 years now. Its third and final season just aired. I was able to wrap up the series. I recommend it to people if you haven't seen it or even heard about it. It's on Netflix. If you're into Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, kind of stories of supposedly well-meaning people kind of doing bad things, getting wrapped up in crime and lies, trying to stack out, you know, everything like that always stacks when it comes to, I guess, not just entertainment, but life in general. Once you're down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Yoda.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, it has the coach from Friday Night Lights, Kyle Chandler. It has director Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn, the girl from Freaks and Geeks and Scooby-Doo, Linda Cardinelli, Sissy Spacek, Bo Bridges, John Leguizamo's in it. That's cool. See him pop up. Yeah, if you're into, like I said, those kind of things. I really like the intro music to it. It's just kind of time lapse of the Florida coast, like a stationary camera from day to night, and storms coming in and out, and you just see the water and like a ship pass and stuff. I don't know, probably not selling it, but be cool. Anyways, it's also a kind of show too. I think I mentioned this to you. You'll know if you like the show after the first episode. So give it a try. Watch that first episode. If you like the first episode, you can continue. If you didn't like it, it's kind of, you get the idea of what it is from the very first episode. So,
cool.
Yep.
All right.
All right. I kind of been yakking for a while. You want to get onto the movies and kick us off?
Yeah. I went and seen Baywatch. And the new one with The Rock and what the hell? Damn it. Well, The Rock mainly. And that one chick. Zac Efron and the DeGario chick. I can't remember her name. But anyway, for what it is, I never really watched the show, so I couldn't really compare the two, other than we know that Pamela Anderson and David Hasselhoff are in it. But I mean, this movie, it is what it is. I mean, if you just want comedy and and all that, and you want to see The Rock and Zac Efron without their shirts. I mean, yeah, it was funny. I don't think I would buy it when it comes out. I mean, I enjoyed Chips way more than I did this one.
Wow.
But I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know who the writers were of this, but I mean, it was just, I think, I mean, there's more funny parts in the movie, but I think that a lot of the funny stuff is in the trailer that you've seen already. And they try to go for the raunchy comedy. But there was one scene, the scene when they were in the morgue, not the stuff they couldn't show in the trailer. I was dying. I think that was probably the hardest I'd laughed in the whole movie. I mean, but for what it is, I mean, it's still worth a watch. If you just want to just kill an hour and 56 minutes, man, go check it out. But goddamn, Zac Efron is cut, man. when he took his shirt off, I was like, damn. I mean that's discipline. I mean, I wish I had it. Because I was like, man, if I look like that, I wouldn't wear a shirt at all anywhere. In winter, raining, I wouldn't care. But there was one dude that was in it. He was pretty funny. He was one of the side guys, John Bass. He was the comic relief out of the whole thing. I thought he was an actor that I had seen him in other movies, but I was wrong. I was thinking of somebody else. But this guy, I guess he was in Girls. I think it looked like he was only in one episode. He was in.
Is he the trailer that The Rock is like? I got to be honest. Like, somebody's probably gonna die.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what? Because it's like obvious he's the only one that's like not as in shape as the rest of the crew.
Yeah, him. But he was funny. I liked him. Alexandria Daddario, she was the one that I liked. Everyone was all over what's her face, Kelly Ronaback. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She played CJ. But Alexandria Daddario, Summer, she was a chick I liked. The girl that was playing the villain of the whole thing, I couldn't buy it from her. I don't know what it was. I mean, she was hot and everything, but I couldn't buy her as the villain of the movie. But there was another dude. He was in he was Cadillac from The Get Down. I don't know if I can pronounce his name. I think it's pronounced Yahya Abdul Mateen II. He was funny. He popped in every now and then. He was Sergeant Ellerby, and he popped in every now and then. He was funny. The Hoff was in it. He made a couple cameos in it, and Pamela Anderson was in it too. And I was like, yes, you have to throw at least throw the Hoff in, yeah, and Pamela Anderson, but I think she could have went uncredited in the credits in the beginning. There was no need to put her name in all that.
Yeah, because it would have been a better.
It would have just been a surprise. But I was like, she didn't even say anything. She just popped up on the screen, and that was it. And it was probably in her contract. You have to put my name in the opening credits. I was like, psh, whatever. So when her name popped across the screen, I was like, oh, okay, maybe she has a bigger part in this. No, she probably got like a few hundred grand just to show herself. I was like, ugh, that was money wasted right there. But overall, I mean, if you love The Rock and Zac Efron and all that, yeah, go check it out. But if I had to choose, if you have a chance to watch Chips or this one, I would go with Chips. That was way more funnier than this. But it is what it is. I mean, don't take my word for it. If you're going to see it, you're going to see it. But it is worth a watch. I mean, it's got its funny parts and all that. So, yeah, that was Baywatch, the 2017 action comedy drama. I didn't think it needed to be that long, but it didn't seem very long, because once it got going, that was it. But Baywatch, if you guys want to check it out.
Yeah, I probably will at some point. That's probably a bad sign for me, though, because I didn't love chips as much as you did, so it might be a bad sign as far as Baywatch. But, you know, I'll definitely check it out at some point.
There's no need to rush. If it comes on TV, watch it, man. There's no need to go to the theater to see it unless there's absolutely nothing else to watch.
Right. All right. Yeah, I did get out to the theaters to see Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, the other big opening this week. Yeah, I liked it. It was solid. I don't know if I liked it more than the first three, but I thought it was better than the fourth. It's closer to the fourth, though, I would say is kind of not being as essential. It did have a few nice surprises, which I won't spoil here if you have any interest in seeing it, that I'm glad I actually didn't look into it, because I think if I looked a little closer, I would have figured these things out before I saw it. So it was kind of like nice surprises to actually see on the screen. So the effects were really cool, especially you've probably seen on the trailer, Javier Bardem's character, the Captain Salazar, his whole crew, the way they're all kind of only parts of them around. They kind of did that a little in the first Pirates movie with some of Barbossa's crew back then, but you could kind of see how far effects have come. Like, tons of them are like, have so much see-through to them, which is really cool. So, but yeah, a few good surprises. If you do go check it out, there is a scene at the very, very end of the credits, the trailers. They're building this up as the final Pirates movie, but I don't know. I mean, it has an end, a very end credit scene, so it's kind of one of those never say never type things. Like, maybe this is it for Depp and Jeffrey Rush and characters that have been with it for the first, but I don't know. I could see the series getting new characters and continuing for sure, especially with the, you know, Disneyland ride and everything. And
do you think they'll be adding some of these new characters into the ride?
Probably. I know they added, well, it's been a while now, but they added Depp's character to the ride, the Jack Sparrow. And I don't know if you saw that video that was floating around, but it's kind of the part of the promotion of the movie. He dressed up on the ride, and as like the boat came by, he did that, you know, he's faking as a statue, and then he comes alive and starts talking to the people on the boat.
Yeah, I did see that, man. I would have screamed. Well,
yeah.
I remember, were you in Hall H? It was a few years back when he was there for, what was it, Alice in Wonderland? Were you in there with us?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when he came out, I remember me and Tommy started screaming like little girls. Yeah.
I do remember that.
Because I was hoping he would be there, but I didn't think so. But as soon as, what's his name? What's the director's name?
Was it
Burton? Tim Burton, yeah. Because it was him and Patton Oswalt were sitting there talking about it, and Patton goes, well, is that it for it? He goes, well, I got someone that's going to come out and say a few words, and everyone went, oh, my God. And then when Johnny Depp came walking down, everybody, ah! that was fun, though, because everybody jumped to their feet and started screaming when he came out. So, I mean, that's as close as we got to Johnny Depp, but, hey, it was good enough just to see him.
Right, exactly.
But that would have been even more awesome to see him dressed up as Jack Sparrow. There's also that other video that happened a while ago when he went to the hospital to visit some kids that were not feeling too good. I thought that was an amazing video. It was a little heartwarming. I did tear up on it because just the kids that he saw were like super happy. So that was awesome. And Johnny Depp, if you're listening, man, thumbs up to you, brother.
Yeah, awesome. But yeah, overall, like I said, if you've kept up with the Pirates series, I'd say might as well go check this one out. I love action-adventure movies, so even without being connected, I had to see it. And man, it feels like I'm all in on Disney these days. Feels like every release they make, Beauty and the Beast, and all these films, they come out with, so I'm there. So, but yeah, it was good, solid, good action pieces.
Eric saw it, and this is the first one that he had seen. He had never seen any of the other ones, and he said it was good.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know. I doubt I'll go out and see it in the theater. I'll eventually see it because I didn't even see the last one, and the one before the part three. I tapped out after that because that one was just I didn't love it at all. I mean, even the second one was okay. I just picked up the first one on Blu-ray the other day, and because the first one was awesome, that was an amazing movie. So I was like, so excited for the second one when it came out. I was like, that was cool. The third one, I was okay. Let me give this another shot, and I left like, ugh, what's going on? This is stupid. And then the fourth one,
and three are movie.
I know, but it was just like, I don't know. It was just losing me. Like I said, they were losing me in the second one. And I don't know. Right. The fourth one, I didn't even bother. And this one might be the same thing. If it comes on TV, I'll watch them, but I don't know. I'm not in a rush to see it.
Right. All right. Just one last movie to quickly mention. This last weekend, or maybe it was been off 2 weeks, I can't remember. HBO, sometimes they just do movies on their own and they just drop it straight to their service. HBO Go, HBO Now, whatever. They air it on TV. And they dropped a movie about the whole Bernie Madoff situation called Wizard of Lies. It had Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, is in it. Checked it out. It was good. I wouldn't say it's a must-see or anything, but, you know, it basically tells that story of Bernie Madoff, the famous Ponzi scheme, the biggest in history. And, you know, this guy was, like, in the inside. Like, he helped create a lot of, like, the rules on Wall Street. And it turns out, you know, he's you know, the biggest schemer of all.
So, what year did that happen? I know it was a while back, but
2008. It was interesting because the financial crisis was already happening. Like it already happened 2008, and the Madoff situation. It finished the year in December is when it broke. The story broke, and he got in trouble and everything. So it, like, the year was already bad. The housing market crashed and everything like that, you know, financial markets in the toilet. And then to top off the year, it was the Madoff scheme, which it was like something insane, like $50 billion in like fake trades. The last real trade he made was in like 97 or something. So it was like 11 years of like nothing but fake trades. So, Hank Azaria's also in it, directed by Barry Levinson. The way that it was interesting to come out and watch it is, like, when I started watching it, it was like I had this idea in my head of, like, okay, well, he went down, but like would you want that? Would you be like, okay, I lived this awesome life, I had whatever I wanted, I had, you know, multiple houses and mansions and just everything I wanted. And I lived this life and vacations and stuff like that. And then, you know, you go to jail and that's that. But one thing this movie really did is show is, like, that's actually not as much of an option as you think. Because basically what happened is he got in trouble for this, yes. But his family really did literally, like, fall apart. He had two sons, and I'm gonna go ahead and say this just because it's based off real life, so it's out there, it's not much of a spoiler for the movie, but he had two sons who were involved with the company who didn't actually know about it, or maybe they did, but you can't say. They claimed not to know about his scheme. One of them committed suicide and the other passed away from cancer. So, and it was almost like, it almost felt like karma in the end. And the wife, she got basically like nobody wanted to help her anymore. Like she would go to stores and stuff like that, and they don't want to do business with her because of the scheming that her husband did. So, you know, it's a lot of fallout. It's not just like, oh, you know, one guy goes to jail. It's like a lot of messiness happens.
Shit. Oh, man.
But yeah, it's De Niro. It's a Michelle Pfeiffer. It's, you know, it's good acting. If you have any interest in checking that out. But yeah, it definitely answered that question for me of like, oh, would you want to just like live awesome for, you know, most of your life and then at the end of your life get caught? But nah.
Nah.
The whole family and get everything worn down.
I don't think. I don't know. That wouldn't be worth it.
No, not at all.
But
and it's kind of funny, too, because he gets to this point where it's like he's talking to this person from in jail, De Niro as Madoff, and he's like, well, I saw this article, and they're like comparing me to a serial killer, and like, how can you do that? I mean, that person, you know, they don't have any emotion. Like, they don't care what happens to people. And it's like, he's basically, he is describing himself. So, like, it does fit.
Shit. What channel was this on?
Like,
Netflix? Is that what you said? Or
no, it's HBO.
Okay, HBO. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, Wizard of Lies. Robert De Niro.
All right. Any other movies?
No. Clear on the movie.
All right. Well, I got a couple that I had watched. Speaking of Robert De Niro, I just watched Dirty Grandpa on Amazon Prime, and Zac Efron was also in this. And I'm about 3/4 of the way through it. I didn't finish the whole thing. I was just tired. But what I saw last night, it was fucking hilarious. I mean, it's that rude, crude humor, and it's... It's funny coming from Robert De Niro because everybody knows with him, and this was kind of a comedy where I didn't think he would pull it off, but damn, he's hilarious. I mean, he was funny in Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers and all that, but this one, man, Robert De Niro, man, he's just like hardcore in this. But it's streaming on Amazon Prime, so if you guys have that, check it out. It's pretty funny. The next movie I saw, I actually did a show on this on the Macness podcast. I kind of we spoiled the whole thing, so. But Brian from The Horror Returns, he came on onto my show, and thanks again, Brian, for coming on and helping us here on East Society with last week's show. Big ups to Brian. Everyone, check out their show, The Horror Returns. On iTunes and Podbean. But this was a movie that came out late last year, I would say. This is a movie called Raw. I think that's the American title because I see some other titles called Grave and there was another title out there. This one's just about I guess she's a teenager. I don't know. She seems really young, but she goes off to veterinarian school and all the hazing that happens to her, and she just kind of gets to school. They start just basically not really torturing all the new students, but just putting them through all these hazing rituals. I mean, like, it looks like they dump blood, animal blood, all over them. They make them crawl around on the ground. Then at one point they make them eat like raw rabbit kidneys. And I think this is when that's where the movie takes its turn to where, first of all, the main girl, her name is Justine. She's a vegetarian and, she just like gets like super sick, from eating that raw rabbit kidney. And then the movie is just, just kind of gets weird from here. It's a really, really slow burn. And it leads into cannibalism and a weird, strange love triangle. And I don't know how else to explain it without ruining anything. But if you do want to see this, check it out. Brian and I, we just spoiled the whole movie on my episode because we just had to. So if you feel like checking this movie out, it's out there. That's all I could say. The movie's called Raw. And when you type in Raw, I know a lot of you wrestling fans, Monday Night Raw pops up on the screen. But just put in Raw 2016 movie or film or whatever, and it'll pop up. There's a lot of articles out there because this movie, I don't think it got a wide theatrical release, but it did all the film festivals. And all these film festivals, there was stories about how people were throwing up and fainting during the movie. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, these must be weak people that can't handle anything if they're fainting in this movie, because there was nothing in this that would make me throw up, much less faint. I think that's just mainly how they're trying to get people to watch it. And if it is, okay, I understand. It made me want to watch it. And I mean, it's a good movie. I was disappointed, but I wanted more, because just how they were hyping up this movie. But I guess that's what you got to do to get people to watch it. It got me to watch it. And but it's not even that gory. I mean, there's nothing in it that's going to make you throw up. And it's a well-made movie. It's not just let's throw blood and gore in this just for the sake of it. I mean, they use it good. So, I mean, it's not bad at all. It's pretty tame. Don't believe the hype. The movie's good. Check it out if you guys want, if you can find it. And that's pretty much it for movies that I've seen. But I do have a quick little some news, a couple horror story newses and one action movie that everyone's flipping out about, but not me, because I think the first movie sucked balls. But I'll get to that one in a minute. This is a sequel. It's an animated sequel to the awesome movie that came out last year, which was my number two pick of 2016, was Train to Busan. This is actually a prequel, and they made it into a animated movie, and it's called Soul Station. It's set to release in America. It's dropping on iTunes today, actually. Oh, man, I should get it, but I'll have to get it later. It drops today. May 30th is when we're recording this. It's on iTunes right now, but it's coming to Blu-ray and DVD and VOD next week. Yeah, next week, June 10th. I'm just going to wait and buy the Blu-ray. Like I said, the Train to Busan was an amazing movie. I have it on Blu-ray, and it was my second favorite movie of 2016, and I can't wait to see this. There's a trailer. I haven't watched it yet. I threw up a little link for it on the Facebook page. It's from the Rue Morgue website, so check it out if you guys loved Train to Busan. This is the beginning of it. The second movie, more horror related stuff. George A. Romero is coming up with another a dead movie out of all his dead series. I don't know how I feel about this one, George, but it's called Road of the Dead, and apparently zombies are driving cars. George. I don't know if he's directing this, but because it says George A. Romero presents Road of the Dead. I really didn't read into the whole thing. I don't know, George, man. I mean, who knows? But then again, I'll wait until I see it to throw in my two cents. But I love George A. Romero. Dawn of the Dead, his Dawn of the Dead movie, original one. The remake is good, Zack Snyder's, but the original Dawn of the Dead is my favorite, all-time favorite zombie movie. And he gave us Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and Survival of the Dead. But if you want to put all those in order, Land of the Dead is the very last movie in his series. I don't know why he did it that way. Because if you watch Diary of the Dead and Survival of the Dead, those movies are actually before the fourth movie. But I don't know why I did it, but I loved all of them. Survival of the Dead, not so much. It was okay. Diary of the Dead, I know he jumped onto the found footage bandwagon, and I remember I saw it the first time. I saw it at a WonderCon screening, and I loved it. I didn't really love it the first time. It took me a few tries. When it came out on DVD, I bought it and watched it over and over, and now I love the movie. But Survival of the Dead, not so much. I mean, it's okay for what it is, but I think he could have did a lot better. So my fingers are crossed if he's directing this one to just make it good and listen to your fans. George, I love you to death. Awesome man. I met him at Comic-Con 1 year, and I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope this one's good. This next one, like I said, I could give two shits for the original. Everyone was all over it, saying it was one of the best movies ever made, and you guys are all full of shit that think that. And that first movie is Tom Cruise's Top Gun. That movie was fucking bullshit. And they're making a second one. Tom Cruise confirmed it that there are I assume it's in pre-production, and they're going to start filming either later this year or earlier next year, but it's coming. So for all you Top Gun fans, just hold on. I'll see it just because I seen the other one. This is what I want out of it.
The guy that kept getting the coffee spilled on him. That's going to be him, right?
No, he's going to be the instructor. He's going to be the Viper or what was Tom Skerritt's character? Fuck. I don't know. Everyone's probably screaming his names. But see, that's how I give two shits about this movie.
They're definitely going to be mad at you.
Classic. Oh, fuck, man. I don't know. Hold on. A quick little story.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. When Top Gun came out, the first one, I didn't see it when it first came out. Or I saw it like maybe weeks after it had been released. It came out in what? May of 96 or 86. Viper was Tom Skerritt, and Jester was Michael Ironside. All right, okay. Anyway, the movie came out, and I was excited because I was a Tom Cruise. I still am a Tom Cruise fan, and this movie came out, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, it's like one of the best movies." And I could still remember the commercials, them saying, "Oh, everyone that they were filming people." Coming out of the movie theater going, "Oh, it's the best movie. Makes me want to go join the Navy right now." And I'm like, I'm like, whatever. The hype did die down. Everyone had seen it. It was probably like number one for I don't know how long. And I finally go in to see it. I'm like, all right, cool. I actually didn't pay. I went and seen something else, and then I walked in the next theater and watched it. Only me and maybe a couple other people that were hella late to the party watching this. I sat down there. I watched the whole movie, and I was like, I don't know what everyone was talking about. This movie was nothing but a romance movie. With a couple little jet scenes thrown into it. I was like,
emotional scene that everybody talks about.
When Goose dies. Yeah, that was sad. I mean, that was a sad part, but no, the way they were making this is one of those movies that was hyped up so much, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, it's the best!" And it had. I was like, "Was there a lot of a jet fighting?" "Oh yeah, there was all the way through it." And I was like, "Oh sweet!" And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I went and seen it, and I was like, "Oh." A movie that came out a few months earlier, which was a million times better than Top Gun. I don't care what anyone says, and that's Iron Eagle. That came out January of 86. And that was with Lou Gossett Jr. and Jason Gidrick. I think that's his name. And fucking, this is what Top Gun should have been. All jets and everything. Because this one's an action thriller war type of thing. My buddy hates this movie. Doug Masters, played by Jason Gidrick. I think that's how you say his name. I think the sequels are stupid, so don't even waste your time on those. But his dad, he gets shot down somewhere in the Middle East. And the Air Force, Navy, or whoever could give two shits about his dad. So we're like, hey, well, we can't go help him. So Doug Masters is like, you know what? Fuck you. My dad taught me how to fly these jets. He like snuck his son into onto the air base to teach him how to fly jets. So he knew he was already a pilot. Yeah, it's far-fetched, but then this is a movie. So, and plus, it's in the 80s. It's way before 9/11, so I'm sure security was not that hard. Anyway, so he knew how to fly jets, and he was like, him and his friends, all these other high school kids, came up with this idea of how to go in there and save his dad. So he gets the help from Lou Gossett Jr. He's Colonel Charles Chappie Sinclair. He's also a friend of his dad's. He jumps on board and helps him. They hash out this plan. They go into somewhere in the Middle East. I don't know where it was to save his dad. And this is what Top Gun should have been. It should have been jets, action, and all that. Top Gun was nothing but a fucking bunch of bullshit romance. And I don't care what anyone said. That movie sucks. And all you people that love it, you guys are stupid. Sorry, you're not all stupid. You're not all stupid. I love you guys. But I'm just saying that's I think that's why I'm getting so mad about this thing, because it was hyped up to me so much. I've never owned this movie. If someone gave it to me, I'll put it in my collection, but I do not own it. I don't have the VHS tape, the DVD, much less the Blu-ray. And when they came out, didn't they come out with a 3D version of this like not so long ago?
I think so, yeah. Is he probably even more revered though now? And I don't know if maybe you have better feelings towards this. The soundtrack, Danger Zone, sitting on the dock of the bay. The one song, the love song, doo 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 doo. You know,
got that loving feeling. Oh man, this movie ruined all those songs for me.
No.
Yes. That's how much I love Berlin, but when I hear that song, I just think of this stupid movie and like,
Danger Zone, amazing.
Kenny Loggins, you can come up with something better than that, man. The Footloose song is a million times better than Danger Zone. Much less the song "I'm All Right" or whatever from Caddyshack.
Right, man. He was so iconic for all these movies.
But this movie is horse shit. This is all my opinion before you guys all start screaming at me.
It's the most controversial take in e-society history.
Oh my god, this movie's bullshit. I mean, like I said, the only reason I'm saying all this is because it was hyped up to me so much. This isn't the only movie. There's numerous other movies that were hyped up to me, and when I finally saw them, they were crap. I'm going to throw out Cannibal Holocaust. I doubt if you even know what that is, Theo. But that was another movie. It was made back in the 70s, I would say. 70s, early 80s, I think. It was that movie was so hyped up. It was kind of like a Raw situation where everyone was like, oh, my God, it's so gross. It looks so real. And I was throwing up and this and that, and it was banned all over the world. It was hyped up to me so much, and when I went, oh, sweet, I finally got a copy of it, I watched it, and I was like, oh, my God, what were these people thinking? Yes, maybe for that time when it came out, it was that brutal, but no. Because they were saying that movie looked so real during the death scenes that they actually had a court hearing, and they brought in the director, and the judge was like, you're going to jail if you can't bring in all these actors into this courtroom to prove to us and the court that they're alive. And I was like, I watched the movie. It looks so fake. It is a classic cult movie, I understand, as well as Top Gun. It is a classic movie. I'm not taking anything away from that. But these two movies I'm talking about were hyped up to me so hard. And then when I saw them, I was like, oh, my God, these movies are crap. And, yeah, Top Gun 2, I'll see it. I mean, just because I seen the first one. But this is what I want out of Top Gun 2. Tom Cruise, of course, and he's a maverick. He's going to be the one of the teachers at the Top Gun school. Maybe he takes over Viper's place as the commander or whatever. I don't know.
I'm telling you, he's got to get the coffee spilled on him. It's got to happen.
Now, that guy was just like a random dude there. He wasn't. Maverick has to be somebody up high. He has to be an instructor or the dude running the whole thing. Because when was this? 86? So we're looking over 20 years?
Yeah, 30, right?
Yeah, 30. He's got to do that. They got to have some kind of goose memorial or memoriam or something for that. Maybe something in that. That would be awesome. Val Kilmer, man, if you're listening, brother, man, you better get in shape because Iceman better be in this. Kelly McGillis, leave her out because... I don't know what everyone was going crazy for her for even back then.
Romance of the 80s.
Who else can they bring back? Michael Ironside, he's still going strong. Bring him back, or maybe he comes back to help. Meg Ryan, I don't think they really need to bring her back in. Merlin, Tim Robbins, I think they can bring him back in. But damn, everyone's old, so...
Right.
I don't know, but these are the people I want to see in it. Tom Cruise, of course, Val Kilmer, Tom Skerritt, if they need to, Michael Ironside, definitely. I think they need to bring him in, and Tim Robbins, maybe if he has time, because I know he does a lot of other things. But let him Maverick be the instructor or whatever, and he's gonna teach this young heartthrob. Leave fucking Channing Tatum out of this, Hollywood. Don't even think of bringing his dumb ass in this. And bring in Zac Efron if you got it.
That'd be fitting, though, for you, right?
Oh, if he's in it, I will not see it. Yeah. Fuck, that motherfucker, he ruined G.I. Joe. But anyway, that's why I'm not even seeing the Kingsman, the second one, because his dumbass popped up on the screen in the trailer.
Oh, it looks so good,
No, it looks stupid because he's in it. Anyway, bring in Zac Efron because he seems to be the flavor of the month. So bring him in. He can be the little heartthrob and take his shirt off and play... volleyball, and that scene was stupid too. Everybody, oh my god, they're so hot, and fucking, how come Goose didn't take his shirt off? What's his name from Revenge of the Nerds? What the hell was his name in that? Right. Lewis, I think. No, Lewis was Carradine. I think he was. Oh fuck, now I'm gonna have to look that up. But anyway, man, Anthony Edwards, he is an awesome actor. I've loved him in all kinds of shit, but. Top Gun, come on, everybody. I mean, Gilbert was his name in Revenge of the Nerds. But, oh, man. Like I said, man, this is all my opinion, and it was hyped up to me so much. And all I said is, fuck Top Gun.
I'm telling you now, this is going in the those little pictures I do for the show for Instagram. This is Top Gun is going in there because this is the most controversial take we've ever had on the show.
But like I said, I do not own it. But if you want to see a kick-ass jet movie, Iron Eagle came out in 1986. Fucking awesome movie. Stay away from the sequels because those ones were horrible. But I wish they would put... I don't even know if it's out on Blu-ray because if it was, I'd have it. I know I have the DVD and the VHS back there in my collection. But Iron Eagle is a million times better than Top Gun. And yes, I said it, and you can take that to the bank.
There you go. All right. Better... Keep it rolling. I just got two quick entertainment, quick hits. One of them is Fear the Walking Dead comes back this Sunday, so we'll be keeping up with that. It recorded a little, like, 5-minute preview for me on the DVR, so I checked that out. It looks like this third season, I'm a little wary because it looks like they're one of the things that bums me out the most is when Walking Dead, the original, the regular series, gets bogged down and they sit in one spot. And it looks like that's what they might be doing on Fear the Walking Dead. It looks like this season they're going to be hanging out with some in a valley with doomsday preppers who were so prepared for this. They haven't dealt with any of the walkers or zombies yet. So I don't know. What do you think? I hate when they just sit And it sounds like that's what they're going to do. They're going to sit with these people who are all prepared and they're good. And I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, all I can do is wait and see. But I don't want it to be like last season, to where it was dragging and dragging and then picked up towards the end and got exciting, because it lost me for a while. I didn't go. I didn't go back to finish it until like months later. So, but I mean, I was happy with the way it ended. But I mean, what they're gonna do now in this next season? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I just hope they're really not there all season in this valley, because it's like the way in the preview they set up these people were ready for the end of the world, so they've got, you know, farming set up and they've got all their little trailers and their whole community is set and stuff. And you know, we've seen that idea before in Walking Dead with Alexandria and everywhere else, even though it ended up being bad. The what's that one place where all the railroad
terminus?
Yeah, even though that they didn't get bogged down there at all.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it. I mean, they hyped it up and ended the season that way, and then they're only there for like maybe an episode, because they had Yeah, that was it. So they got there. Right. That was the season finale, and then the season opener, they had that big battle and all that craziness. I thought that was one of the most brutal beginnings to a season, when they had them all tied up and they're bashing those guys' backs, their heads in with a bat, and slicing their throats. I was blown away. How come nobody flipped out about that? And then when they beat up Glenn with a bat, everyone,
Just because it was characters you didn't know. Did you know one of the people that got bashed there, he plays, it's not a show that I've watched, but that Gotham show, he plays the Penguin on that show. One of the guys that got bashed on Walking Dead.
I had no idea. I think I gave that show one episode and I tapped out.
Yeah, you might have seen him too on Billy on the Street. I guess he's one of Billy's good friends, Robin Lord Taylor or Taylor Lord.
So I don't know. Maybe.
Anyways, the other quick hit I had was you might have caught on. I can't remember if you hit us up on the East Society Facebook page or just mentioned us in a comment, but one of our good con crew buddies, Quartz, he wants to hear us talk about Dark Crystal when that comes out. So are you excited for that show?
Yeah, I am. I'm a huge fan of Dark Crystal. I remember sitting in a panel one time at Comic-Con one year, I don't remember when, and they were discussing that they did want to do something for well, first of all, everyone was talking about, was it going to be a remake? And they were like, no, it's going to be a continuation to the movie. So we'll see. But I'm definitely can't wait for it. It is going to be a Netflix deal. So is it a movie or is it like a series?
I think it's a series, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah.
I just saw the little video. I think you posted it, where they showed they were like doing the production on it.
Yeah. So I didn't really read into it too much, but I mean, if it's a movie, hey, I'm all for it. But, if it's a series, I mean, can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. And yes, you're going to throw in the CGI, but let's try to be practical with the effects for most of it. Cause that was the reason I loved it. I mean, that first one came out. Well, when was that first one? It was in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, 80s, right?
Yeah.
That's a series, too, that I watched it then, and I haven't seen it in a long time, so it's something I definitely need to revisit. I did see it, but it's probably something I definitely need to watch out with fresher eyes.
82 is when that first one came out. And
right.
the TV series. It's called Age of Resistance.
All right.
I think. I don't know. All these other, yeah, that's what it's called. The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. And that doesn't premiere until next year sometime. Let me see if it says it on here. It's a TV series because there's 10 episodes. Doesn't really give us a release date yet that I could see. But I guess if you want updates on that, go to the Dark Crystal website, and I'm sure it'll tell you everything. But on IMDb, it doesn't really show, or doesn't really say when exactly it is. They are using the practical puppets and everything, so that's cool. But I know a lot of it, maybe background stuff and some of the things will be CGI. So we'll see. But yeah, man, Dark Crystal, 82, shit.
Yeah,
man, I was 11 when I saw this, and I was blown away. I just actually recently picked it up not too long ago. I dug through that big pile at Walmart. And a Blu-ray, and it was only like $7 or $8 or something like that. So it's definitely worth, if you go dig through that pile, find Dark Crystal, because it is an amazing movie, and it's a must-have in your collection if you collect movies. It was directed by the late Jim Henson, and also co-directed by Frank Oz, Yoda, and all the other things he's done. Jim Henson also wrote the story, and David Ordell did the screenplay. So it was amazing. It was an amazing movie for the time and for what it was. It was just fantasy adventure. Awesome movie. Check it out. And I'm hoping the TV show is just as good, but we'll see.
Yes, definitely. Speaking of the con, unless you have something else you want to jump in on, wanted to start that new segment on looking back at San Diego Comic-Con.
Let's do that. I don't have anything else.
Okay, cool. I thought we could kick off with one of our best stories. You have the best angle on this story. It was, I believe, if I'm remembering right, it was either 2008 or 2009. I can look up the video to confirm this while you tell. But the Adult Swim and David Banner experience. Tell them about that and kind of fill in from the audience level what I saw.
Why did we even go to this party? Was it just a party we just went to?
It was. That was the year that we had Joel, Sherry, Dusty. So that had to have been, man, like I said, it's 2008 or 2009. I'm going to look it up right now. But Joel and Sherry, they got us the tickets for the entry. It was one of those things where at the Adult Swim booth on the floor at San Diego Comic-Con, you kept going in line to they were doing giveaways. And in the giveaway was tickets to the Adult Swim party. So they got enough tickets for all of us. And that's how we all ended up there. So shout out to Joel and Sherry.
big ups to them. Cause I probably wouldn't even went to this at all. When you go to the parties down there, sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's open bar and sometimes it's not. And but this one was, because I remember everyone had beer in their hands, and there was free food, because I remember we just went in there and we ate up. And when you hit these parties with the free food, you got to go for it, because every place around there is pretty expensive, except for that pizza place that we always go to. We always get to that every year. Slices are really cheap. And the pizza's good. I don't know. I think it's called Gas Lamp Pizza or something. But anyway, we get into the party. There's all kinds of everyone just hanging out. And then there's, I don't think it was Mike and Brian or somebody. I don't know. They had some TV show on. Who was it?
Tim and Eric.
Yeah. Those guys. I don't know what they did, but they were kind of the hosts of the evening. They did their little comedy routine, and then they had a dance contest and all that, which I jumped up there and busted my popping and locking moves. I did that really quick, and the crowd loved it. But the girl that won, I thought was stupid because I think she just had a big you-know-whats. So anyway, the party goes on. We kind of start bumming around. There's kind of things to do. I know we were downstairs almost getting ready to leave because I think there was like ping pong or video game or something down there we were playing. And I remember Joel goes, dude, let's go. This is weak, because it was getting weak. But this rapper guy was coming on, David Banner. I didn't know who he was. I know you guys were more familiar with who he was. I actually, when his music started, I went, oh, okay, I know who this dude is. Anyway, so he gets up there. He does his performance, and everyone's having a good time. There's still a lot of people at the party. This was all at Petco Park where the Padres play. It was up on one of the floors because it was actually outside. So we're there grooving, watching him perform. And then towards the end of his set, he gets out. He goes out into the crowd and starts doing like a karaoke type of thing. His DJ is just playing random songs, and he's handing the mics to everybody. And everyone's just rapping along to old classic hip-hop songs or some new ones. So he kind of gets back up on stage, and then I think we're pretty much almost to the end of it because everyone was having a good time and everything, but I think he was ready to go. But he was like, well, is there anyone else? What other songs? And I was, me and Zisu here, we were standing pretty much right in front of the stage, and I just yelled out, play some Too Short. So he looks at his DJ, and his DJ, I cannot remember his name, he pumps out a song, Blow the Whistle. And that was pretty much, it was like the hit at the time. So that song comes on. He kind of puts the mic in front of my face. I start rapping along to it. Then I just take the mic out of his hand, and the stage is right in front of me. And it's not like, well, it's a stage, but it's not really high, maybe like 2 or 3 feet. So I just stepped up onto the stage, had the mic in my hand, just going along to the song, going for it. I mean, I have pictures of it and everything, and there was a video. The video is a little crappy because I don't know, Joel just couldn't focus it.
I just posted it to the E Society Facebook page, so definitely go and see this if you haven't seen it.
It blurs in and out, and that's not the whole song. It's it kind of just goes back and forth with it, but so the song's going, I'm on stage, but in the video, he only gets like half of it. He doesn't get the whole performance because nobody knew what I was doing. I didn't think I was gonna do it. I just stepped up there and did it. So I'm rapping along to the song and everything, and David Banner jumps up on stage. And he was down in the crowd for a while. Yeah, he had his hands up. He was hooting and hollering and all that. He climbs up on stage. And this is in the video, but it's kind of blurry, so you really can't see it. But he hands me $100 out of his pocket, and everyone starts cheering. And I'm still rapping along. I take the first $100. Then he pulls out another $100 and gives it to me. So he gave me $200, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then he tries to take the mic away from me, but I'm still going for mine.
Yeah.
And eventually he gets another mic from the DJ, and they stop the song, and the DJ cuts the music, but then the David Banner starts beatboxing, and then I was like, all right, cool. So I just did a little verse from an old song that I used to do with my other group. Off the top of my head. So I was just, I was rapping along to that. He was beatboxing. Everybody was digging it, having a good time. And then we ended the show because he stopped. I tried to throw his name into my rhyme, but I couldn't fucking remember his name. And I was like, yeah.
With my man. Yeah,
but it was hilarious, man. It was a fun night. It was an ending to an awesome con. I think that was on a Saturday night. No, it wasn't. That was Friday night because we kept going. But anyway, it was an end to an awesome day at San Diego Comic Con. I had $200 in my pockets because I was like, yeah, and oh my god, it was so fun. It was cool at the end because David Banner took pictures with all of us, and I got shot with the DJ, and people thought I was a part of the show. And
right, plant.
Yeah, I was like, no, I didn't want to say. I didn't even know who this guy was, but it was a fun night and everything. But yeah, the video's on the page, so check it out. It is blurry, so. But
yeah, Joel in the back. I'm so glad he got that video, though. From my perspective, and this is just the way I'm remembering it, this was 2008, so almost getting close to 10-year anniversary. It was the second year for me, Comic-Con. The year before was my first year, 2007, and that year it was just you, me, and Joel, so it was just the three of us. So the second year we had Sherry and Dusty, the only time that Dusty's been able to join us, but the way that I'm remembering it in the crowd, we were right there, and I remember all the songs he was doing. You know, I'm a Kanye fan, and that's before he had really gone as crazy as he went. So I remember, I was like, oh, yeah, excited, because he was playing some Graduation, Good Life. And I was like, oh, yeah, and, you know, I was like, yeah, close. And then he came close, and you kept saying the Too Short thing. And as soon as it went on, the way I'm remembering it is you flat out took the mic from him and he was trying to get it back from you. And I was like, what? And he's like trying to get it back from you. And then he like actually kind of gave up and then was like, oh, get on the stage, get on the stage. And then, yeah, in the video, you can see him trying to get the mic from you. And then he's just like, okay, just fine. Give me another one.
I was going for mine. I didn't care.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was so good. It was one of the best con moments we've ever had. And like I said, the 200, I remember one of the things you did was the strawberries and cream.
Yeah, I was buying those like the rest of the weekend with that $200.
Exactly. So... yeah, amazing time.
Oh man, that was fun. We had other amazing moments, but we'll get to those later on another shows. But that was so much fun that night. They had no idea I was gonna get $200. I didn't even know I was gonna be performing, and everyone thought I was a part of the show. So, and the other cool thing about that, the next day or the next couple days we were there, people were like, "Hey man, I saw you the other night." I'm like, "Oh, right on, cool." And didn't think nothing of it. But the year after, and sometimes the later years after all of this, people have come up to me. Do I know you? And I'm like, no. I know. I remember the very next year that this one girl, I was standing in line for something, and she turned around and she was looking at me, and she goes, "You were rapping with David Banner, weren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I remember not last year, but the year before. Same thing happened to me. I was standing in line to get something, and this guy turned around and he was looking at me, and he goes, "You rap, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You were at that one party." And I was like, "Yeah, with David Banner." Wow. And he was like, "Yeah, that's who it is." And then he turned to his buddy. "This is the dude I was telling you about that one year." it's weird, and it's funny that how many people come up to me that remember me. I mean, I was a little thinner then, but it was, I don't know. I mean, they remember. I don't know how long I was on that stage, but it was an amazing night, and it was an amazing time, and I can't wait for this year. And hopefully we're going to definitely come to you with a few shows while we're down there. But San Diego Comic-Con coming July 19th through the 22nd or 3rd or something like that. I don't know. San Diego, California. If you're down there, look for us. We'll put you on the show with us. So, yeah. Comic-Con, get ready.
Definitely. And, yeah, just another reminder, that video is up on the East Society Facebook page. Definitely go check that out. So good. You can hear Joel kind of laughing in amazement. Like, you can't believe what's happening and what he's seeing. It's so good. You can kind of see my head in the front. One little weird thing I remember is we hadn't gone to the hotel yet, and we came straight from the convention floor, and I had a stack of posters in my hand. I'm carrying posters. So I really wish I wasn't, but yeah, it was just fresh off the day.
I'll have to dig for the pictures that I have, but there is the picture where I know there's one. If you go to the episode page for the Skater Nez Podcast Network on Podbean, the headline picture, that's a shot from me that night. When I'm on the mic, you can kind of see the Zisu's head a little bit off to the right.
Right.
that's the night. You can see me with the mic in my hand, full action, the DJ in the back. I know I have other pictures where David Banner's throwing his hands up for me, but yeah, man, awesome time.
Definitely. Yep. And more San Diego Comic-Con moments to come as we continue these weeks leading up to Comic-Con. But moving on, how about some sports?
A's, because I think we need to move along. I ran it a little too long with Top Gun, but the A's. Hold on. We got roughed up by the Yankees. I know we got. Red Sox, we would have swept them, but we lost the last one. Marlins, we won one, lost the other. We won the first one with the Yankees. They roughed us up with the last two. Indians scalped us last night, and we play today again. So hopefully we can win that series. But still a ton of baseball, and we're just going back and forth.
Yeah, the big thing that happened for the San Francisco Giants yesterday was big fight. A player I really like on the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper, he charged the mound against Hunter Strickland of the Giants, which I don't know. I guess there's a weird history there. One of our last World Series runs, 2014, Bryce Harper hit two home runs off of Strickland, I guess, in the series. So I don't know. Like, it's all these years later, and Strickland beamed him, hit him with the pitch, and Bryce charged the mound. And there's lots of interesting angles to this. I sent you the video, Nez, of them breaking it down. And one is our catcher, Buster Posey, like, in a daze, like, you're supposed to, like, make sure the charging player, you get right after him. But Buster kind of just stands there. Got a couple of big guys on our team, Michael Morris, Jeff Samardzija. They, like, run right into each other. Bryce did land a punch. I think Strickland landed a punch. So we're probably looking at suspensions. But, yeah, pretty wild event considering.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that video. Someone posted it, one of my buddies, and I ended up watching it. And I didn't know who either of the players were. But I just love fights. In baseball, because that's all I've been watching lately is awesome catches, hits, fights, and all that with throughout the years in baseball. This just added to all that, so I thought it was cool. But then again, I didn't know who any of the players were.
Right. But, yeah, other than that, still waiting for the NBA Finals to start this Thursday, Game 1. Been over a week now since the Cavs just wrapped up their series. It'll be a week, and then Warriors something like 14 days, not 14, like 10 days since they last played. So anyways, it's been forever. I can't wait for these finals to get started. I'm a little anxious. Everything on paper says we're favorited, but, you know, we're going up against LeBron, and, you know, they are the defending champs, and they only lost once in their playoff run. So I know the Warriors want to destroy them after we messed up last year, and we had to listen to all the 3-1 jokes all year. So looking for redemption. I can't wait for that series to get started. But I don't know. I have a level of anxiousness about it, too, because of how much I love Warriors basketball and how important it is to me. So best case scenario is if we just – plow through them, if we blow them out, 20-point leads, and I want to go undefeated this whole playoff run. I want to go see 16-0. So,
sports. I think that's it for me. The wrestling wise, the Money in the Bank's coming up the next couple of weeks. So get ready for all that. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. When you mentioned Raw on the text, I thought you meant Monday Night Raw.
That's why I put movie after it.
Yeah, you did. And then I was like, Raw. And then I was like, no, he means wrestling. I was like, it's Monday, right? I was like, you know. Anyways, speeding along, just a little on the collecting side. Not going to be too much as we lead up to Comic-Con. Got to save as much funds as possible to make this San Diego trip work. But the Lord of the Rings Twilight Ringwraith hit Hot Topic this past week, and I was able to use two of my rewards on it. So I was able to get it for basically $2, which is pretty awesome. It glows in the dark. You can see that on the Zisu Instagram page. That's my only pickup. As far as releases, they just released pictures this morning of the Kingsman Pops, and they have one of the girl with the blades on her legs from the first movie, and she's like jumping in action pose. That one looks really cool. The Sam Jackson looks really different from the other Sam Jackson Pops they've done, like Mace Windu and his character in Hateful Eight. So, big fan of that series. Any collecting for you?
Nothing. Hopefully I'll find some stuff when I go down to the Sinister Creature Con in Stockton next weekend. I'm going down there with a friend of the show, Mike Marin, director Mike Marin. We're going to that horror convention. So hopefully he's also a collector. So expect an episode of us from down there. We're just going to do a walkthrough and just see what we can find. So get ready for that. And other than that, I think that's the only, I haven't found any pops or anything out there, but yeah, that's about it for me.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. I loved the way your Texas Frightmare one turned out, where you walked the floor. Those turned out really well, so hopefully we can make that work for San Diego this year too.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna do that. So that's gonna be fun. Yeah. We'll just do a walkthrough because it's sweet. We both have badges, so we'll both be able to be in there instead of doing the handoff. So
exactly.
We'll walk around. We'll give you guys a quick whatever we see, and I plan on doing numerous episodes down there. They're all gonna be only a few minutes long, so don't expect. But our big wrap-ups at the end of the day will probably be the longer ones. But we're going to throw in some here and there for you guys because there's a lot going on down there, and we're not always going to be together. So they might be solo shows, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, sounds good. Last thing before we leave collecting, and I guess I could have saved this for off-wax, but was able to make a trade for you to pick up the Macho Man FYE. So you got that coming your way, and I'm in the middle of working out a trade to get the Hulk Hogan, so look forward to that. Those up.
Sweet.
Cool. Get close to the end. How about Star Wars moment? I'll just so we can
just pick something and roll.
2003, it is almost June, so I'll go with that. June 2nd, a winner Yoda is for his duel with Dooku. Yoda wins MTV Movie Award for Best Fight. A newly animated Yoda, voiced by Frank Oz, accepts the award. Promise myself cry, I would not, says the visibly moved Jedi Master in his acceptance speech. He thanks Christopher Lee, George Lucas, Sam Jackson, Natalie Portman, Watto, Chewie, Conway, Vin Diesel, R2-D2, C-3PO, Bjork, Greedo, Steve Guttenberg, Ki-Adi Mundi, Lama Sue, Queen Latifah, and all the younglings at MTV. I don't remember that, but I've never been big on award shows, and I don't know, MTV, they've been doing it forever. Just real super quick side note, last year, I walked into MTV Fandom Awards. It was at Petco Park, I think, Thursday night of the con. It was just a thing you could just walk into. I didn't even really know. I thought it was like a fan event, but they were actually recording the show live, the award show. So that was interesting. Anyways, almost done, but can't go before we give them recommendations. You got yours lined up?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the movie that I already talked about. I'm not going to go through the whole description yet. Well, I'll give you the quick synopsis. Iron Eagle, 1986. A heroic young pilot, Doug Master, launches a rescue mission when his father, an Air Force veteran, is shot down over enemy territory and captured. Check it out, Iron Eagle, 1986. Awesome movie. Better than Top Gun.
Huh. Yeah. All right. Mine is a movie I might have mentioned before. I can't remember if I mentioned it on the show or I just mentioned to you in passing. It's 2015's Heist. I was looking for something with Robert De Niro, something kind of under the radar, and this fit the bill perfectly. I mentioned this to you when Walking Dead was going on because Negan is the main actor in this. It also has Batista. It's basically a B movie. It is what it is. It's a heist movie, but I really enjoyed it for what it is. So, yeah, check it out. It is on demand. I was able to get it on the TV on demand. So if you have any of the cable or satellites, you can get it that way. And I did a little research and found out it's on Amazon, too. So Amazon Prime. So check it out. 2015's Hype.
Cool. My random the recommendation for a song is from a amazing woman, Amanda Palmer. If you listen to my show or follow me on Instagram, I saw her last week in San Francisco, and she gave me some powerful words of encouragement to deal with how I'm feeling when I'm up and down. And I just the love she gave me, I'll never forget. And Amanda, if you're listening to this, I love you so much. And thank you for everything that you have done for music and for me on a personal level. This is a song that she had done on her 2011 album, Amanda Palmer Goes Down. This is the song In My Mind. It's a good song. She's playing the ukulele and just singing. And I love you, Amanda. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was an awesome picture. That was really cool to see. That was a signing after the show?
Yeah. I was shocked. I didn't even know they were going to do that. So I was like super happy. Cool. And I was like, oh, this is my chance to finally meet her. And I did. And I will never forget that night.
That's awesome. My random song is kind of out there. It's another one I found just by playing NBA 2K. It was on last year's game. It's a interesting mashup of a Korean rap act called Dynamic Duo and DJ Premier, who's obviously done a lot of hip hop here in the States. But the song's called Ayo. It's A-E-A-O. Yeah, obviously, as always, you can find it on the Facebook page. You can listen to it. A lot of it, yes, is in Korean, except for the like chorus, but it's got a great DJ Premier beat that was hard to escape for me. So while I don't really know the lyrics, it's a really enjoyable song.
Cool. I mean, there's always songs like that. I mean, that song, well, she did put out a American English version, but that version sucked. Nina, I think that was the group or her name or whatever. That Luft Balloons, 99 Luft Balloons, the German version, it was like a million times better than the English version, because the English version was no good. Or even, what's his name that came out years back, the Korean guy, Gangnam Style, Psy, even him, how catchy that song was, and it was all in Korean, and it was a huge hit. So it doesn't matter. As long to me personally, if the music sounds good and it's catchy, I'll enjoy it, even if I don't know what the hell they're saying. I mean, but
right,
it's still cool.
Right, and like I said, great DJ Premier beats. So
yeah.
Anyways, on that note, you ready to wrap it up?
Yep. I don't have anything else. I think that's it for us. Oh, another quick thing real quick. You can find these shows, Skaterness Podcast Network. I know we had some problems and we did make an announcement last week. Skaterness Podcast Network. Well, we'll put there's a link on the Facebook page. If you can't find it, just click there. But if you go to iTunes or Podbean, just in the search engine, just look for or type in Skaterness Podcast Network. Skater is SK, the number 8, ER, then Nez, two words, and then Podcast Network. And everything will pop up on there. The download numbers are amazing. Thank you so much, everybody. And yeah, that's it.
Sounds good. Next week, got Wonder Woman to look forward to. Big release. Lots of good early reviews. That's a good sign, especially for as struggling as the DC Universe has been. So we got that. I think the newest season of House of Cards hits on Friday. So there's that. Probably won't get through all that, but a little of it at least to come back and tell you a little bit about. New Twin Peaks episode, all that and more.
Yep. Everyone, hey, all the people around the globe, thank you so much. Shouts out to Germany, Japan, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, Russia, everybody in America. We love all you. And spread the word on our show.
Yep. Thank you, everyone. And on that note, I'll just leave you with, yeah, it sounds crazy, but these are crazy times, huh?
Top Gun sucks.